podcast, I'm going to look at some of the things to consider when reading the Psalms. And as the basis, we're going to look at Psalm 92, which I'll begin by reading. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord! How profound your thoughts! Senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like the grass, and all evildoers flourish, they'll be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no wickedness in him. Coming from their Hebrew origin, the name Psalm means song. It's used to describe the most sacred poems in what is now known as the Book of Psalms. It contains both praises, declarations, petitions, and laments. And the Psalms were designed to be read, or more particularly sung together, accompanied by musical instruments. And these Psalms are amazing expressions toward God or declarations to each other, and contain real depth of emotion and experience. The psalm writers knew well that saying something out loud did something for them, and it does so for us today. As we speak out loud or sing out loud, something bursts out within us, and the creative power of that declaration can dispel doubt, depression, and darkness. In the beginning, God spoke, and it was. Speech can have that creative power and also destructive power. We know even today speech has power. We pronounce things at weddings, for example. We commit things by the word of mouth. Words spoken out loud can bring healing and reconciliation, or they can be destructive and separate. God knew this. He gave Israel the priestly blessing in Numbers 6, which recalls the creative word of God, where he told Aaron to speak certain words over the house of Israel. And it's so powerful, isn't it, to speak out. The act of actually speaking out and uttering the prophetic words opens up the possibility of God doing new things, were it not possible before. And Psalms are great examples of this. And the Lord is the object of our praise declaration, and he's the basis for it. And we do that creatively, as inspired by the Psalms. And there's joy in it. As a song, a psalm expresses truth, but it also expresses something else, a connection to God. And a song can connect or reach depths of your soul and spirit in a way that few other things can. It's like a doorway into our being, and from our being to the Lord. We've been looking at the Psalms as following on from the prayer course we did. And they've used the description of certain psalms as psalms of orientation. That's when things are right with God, as it were, and you're really focused on his goodness. Disorientation, where seasons of disorder, as it were, and we need to find God afresh. And new orientation is when we've come through a difficult time and we see God in a fresh way. Psalm 92 is a psalm of orientation. It describes a season that evokes gratitude for God's faithfulness and steadfastness. It speaks about God's character, God's creation, the unchangeable nature of his love and his favour. As our experience of God grows and deepens, so does our expression of God. And correspondingly, as we learn to express to him in new ways, so our experience of God also deepens. Expression and experience are linked. The key thing that we learn so much in the Psalms is to express ourselves to God in every season of the soul, to turn to him and to keep turning to him. This the Psalm teaches us and keeps teaching us, no matter how we feel, we should keep turning and directing our cry to God. While I want to keep this really simple and understandable, I want us to see that Psalms are poetry. And as poetry, they have certain structures, and sometimes it can be really helpful to find the structure in the psalm as you would look for it in the poem and the thought progression. If I was to write a letter or tell a story, I would write those in different ways. I would structure my letter in a particular way, or I would plan my story in a way that I would introduce my characters and lead you into the plot. In poetry, the structure of the poem is particular, and particularly in the Psalms, there's often a repetition of themes where the theme will come at the beginning of the psalm and then at the end of the psalm, and then it might reach a point in the middle. Sometimes psalms are structured in groupings of thoughts that lead from beginning to end. Sometimes they lead up to the middle and then almost back again to the end, matching the middle. You'll often see in Psalms parallel thoughts in one verse, where the first line and the second line either are linked or they are at variance. They almost say the negative aspect to the first thought. And this psalm in particular, Psalm 92, you can see each line is linked to the next line. And then the next pair of lines are linked. And then you note that there's a point in the middle that is not linked. Let me just explain that to you. So it is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. Those two thoughts are linked. Proclaiming your love in the morning is linked to your faithfulness at night. To the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. So you can hear the rhythm. Each thought is linked to the next thought. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know. Fools do not understand. That though the wicked spring up like the grass and all evildoers flourish, they'll be forever destroyed. You can hear the rhythm, you can hear the link. And then right in the middle, the eighth verse, it stands on its own. And as you can see, that standing uniquely on its own is the point to which the psalm is structured. And so the key point of this psalm, verse 8, is, "But you, Lord, are forever exalted." It's a psalm of praise. And everything is structured around this key thought, that you, Lord, are forever exalted. This key thought, that you, Lord, are forever exalted, links to the first verse, which refers to make music to your name, O Most High, the one who is exalted, and the last verse, the Lord is upright. So you can see this key theme working through the psalm. Poems are often a collection of verses, and those verses are grouped together with a particular thought. And that collection of verses is called a stanza. It's from the Italian word meaning a room. It's like the poem itself is a house, and each room in the house has a particular function. And you can go from one room in the house to the next room, and there's usually a connection. So poems and songs are divided up in different stanzas, and each stanza connects the thoughts within that particular section. So I want to give you an example from this particular psalm. The first stanza is really the first four verses, and the thought of the first four verses is it's good to praise the Lord, and the way to praise the Lord. So proclaiming his love to the music, for you make me glad. So that's the first stanza. And then the next stanza kind of stands on its own. It's a bit of awe. How great are your works, Lord? How profound your thoughts? Then the next stanza looks at senseless people or fools. It says, senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like the grass and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed. And then that leads to the central stanza, but you, Lord, are forever exalted. To give each stanza a letter, it would be the first stanza, it's good to praise the Lord, is A. B would be, how great are your works. C, senseless people do not know. And then the central stanza is, but you, Lord, are forever exalted. And the poet comes back in reverse order. So the stanza after the central one refers to God's enemies. And so that's linked with the senseless people. It's referring to evildoers in both ones. And then the next stanza, which links to the short one, B1, is my eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries, my ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. And then finally, the last stanza links to the first one, which talks about the outcome of the righteous. The righteous praise the Lord in the first stanza, and in the last one, the righteous flourish like the palm tree. So this structural matching of the units provides the writer with the opportunity to underscore certain points and themes through this repetition, whilst the unmatched central unit carries the main theme of the psalm. The matched units are normally of similar length. We're going to look at the match units and then get the main theme, as it were, coming out strongly. So the first and the last stanza talks about how the righteous praise the Lord because that's the good and right thing to do. And then the righteous flourish because they're living in this place of relationship and connection with God. So it's good to praise the Lord, is what the righteous do. And then in verse 12, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree and they will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Flourish like the palm tree is such a wonderful picture in the Psalms. It's to stand tall and to live long. Palm trees have been important throughout history. They are mentioned 40 times in the Bible and they're known for their resilience, their fruitfulness and their long life. Date palm refers to here, it stands really tall and they're very strong. The date palm can withstand severe weather, even monsoons. They are flexible and bend in the storms but don't break. Their root system is so secure that no palm has been known to be uprooted by a storm. And that's what the righteous are going to do. They're going to flourish like the palm tree. They're rooted in his love and faithfulness. So the fruit of the palm was a major part of the diet of the East. And in fact, every part of the palm tree was useful in various ways. And the righteous will flourish in this way. And they will grow tall like the cedar of Lebanon. Cedar trees were large evergreen trees which live a very long time. And they usually grow to a great height, 50 or even 80 feet. Thrive in plenty of rainfall. The wood is also really resistant to disease due to the natural oils, and the wood of the cedar has a very pleasant smell. Cedar trees have been important for thousands of years. Their wood was used to build the temple and the king's palace. So cedar trees express the idea of majesty, durability, incorruptibility, and stability. The older they get, the better they get. So the righteous who praise the Lord, they flourish like the palm tree. They're unrootable, they're unmovable, and they grow like the cedar. They are incorruptible and stable. What an amazing picture the psalmist is painting. My hope and ambition is that my passion for Jesus will increase every day, that I'm alive, that this picture of the palm tree and the cedar tree will apply to us, and I pray that it applies to you too. The second stanza and the sixth one refers to God's works and thoughts. Verse 5 says, "How great are your works, Lord, how profound your thoughts." And verse 11, "My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries, my ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes." God's works and God's thoughts are consistent and match. How necessary to reflect on the works and thoughts of God. We discover his ways are so much higher than ours, and his thoughts so much higher. In God, his works and his thoughts always go together. When we focus on God, we have the faith to see, and therefore we can hear the rout of our enemies. Looking at the third and the fifth stanza, "Senseless people do not know, fools do not understand." And then verse 9, "Surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish, all evildoers will be scattered." So there's a link. They both mention the word evildoers. They referred to the fact that the wicked may spring up like the grass, but they don't spring up like the date palm or the cedar tree. They spring up like the grass, which will soon be destroyed and gone. So the constant themes of the Psalms are that the ungodly appear and they flourish, but we're not to be anxious or fret because of that, because the righteous are planted deep and they will prosper and they will grow. That the enemies of God will perish, but God lifts us up in strength, and his favor and his oil is upon us. And the reason for this is that the Lord is forever exalted. He is the reason that the righteous will flourish, and those who do wickedness will ultimately fail. And we see how the writer has woven his theme and structured his psalm. God is most high, he is faithful, he is exalted, he is upright. May we reflect and pray and rejoice that it is good to praise the Lord. God, our Father, we thank you that you, Lord, are forever exalted. And because you're exalted, Lord, it is so good to praise your name, proclaiming your love in the morning, your faithfulness at night, all the day. And to do that creatively to music, because you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. Lord, how great are your works, how profound are your thoughts. Thank you, Father, that even though people without sense don't know or understand this, you, Lord, are forever exalted. And you will destroy your enemies, Lord. They may spring up, but they will be scattered. And my eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries, my ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. And the righteous, Lord, we know, will flourish and grow like the date palm and the cedar. And we will bear fruit in old age, and we will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no wickedness in him. The Lord be praised. Amen.